Our hope is in you alone. There is no answer anywhere else outside of you. You are the true essence of truth. You are perfect solution. And Lord, oh God, we come to you today, recognizing, oh God, that there are no answers anywhere else. We draw, God, on you. We call on you. We find, oh God, our perfect peace, our perfect rest, perfect healing, deliverance, redemption, salvation, provision from you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. We thank you, Lord, for life restored, for minds renewed. We thank you, Lord, oh God, for this day that you've made for us to rejoice and be glad. We thank you, Lord, oh God, that all around the world today, on a day that is called Good Friday, the saints celebrate the very fact that this day, God, you've manifested and made final to mankind that you love her. And you, O God, gave your life in exchange for us. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your crucifixion. But most of all, we thank you, Lord, for that which we will celebrate on Sunday, your resurrection. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we thank you, Lord, for it. Amen. Thank you, faithful God, so unchanging. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We thank God for a wonderful day. We thank God for his manifold blessings. We'd like to encourage those that are watching online to get your communion elements together. Unleavened bread or whatever it is that you have, and some grape juice for wine. And we are excited about what God has already done for us. Today, I want to share a simple word with us, and then I'm going to spend some time with us praying. The message today, I want to caption. And this is something that I am not good at, but one of these days I will be good at it. Giving titles to messages, I'm just one of those that just comes and preaches, and so I very rarely give titles to messages. But if I were to give a title to the message today, it would be The Great Exchange. The Great Exchange. Because God wants to do an exchange with you. He wants to take your death from you and give life to you. He wants to take sickness from you and give health to you. He wants to take poverty from you and give you riches. He wants to take sin from you and give you righteousness. He wants to exchange with you today. Will you be willing to make that exchange? God wants to exchange with you. Are you ready for the exchange? You know, I happen to travel a great deal. And when I am outside of North America, I always have to do an exchange, a currency exchange, so that I can do business in the new country that I find myself? Well, there's an exchange that you need to make to do business in the kingdom of God. And the question once again is this: are you willing to make that exchange? Now, the Bible tells us in Mark 15, I'm going to start reading from verse 6. Now, at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil had he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. The exchange was between the Son of God and the Son of God. What do you mean, Pastor? The name Barabbas means Son of God, Son of the Father. Jesus is the true Son of the Father. But on the day that he came to die on the cross, an exchange was made between him, the Son of God, the true only begotten Son of God, and the Son of God, Barabbas, who was a thief, who was a robber, who was a criminal, who was a sinner. Why did God choose this? Well, because as far as God was concerned, he looked at you, he looked at me, all of us sinners, and he said, that's a son. That's my son. That's my daughter. That's my child. God saw a Barabbas that was a sinner, and he said, and gave him a name to match up with his destiny, because that day he was going to come and exchange places with him. Barabbas was to die that day. He had been involved in an insurrection. He was rebellious. He was fighting against the system. He didn't want to be under a system that kept him in bondage. And I believe there are so many of us that are fighting against the system, the world system, fighting against every system out there. It's not that you don't love God. It's not that you don't want God. It's not that you don't want to be part of the family of God. It's that you're trying to do it in your own ability, in your own strength, in your own power, with your own wisdom, with your own intellect, with your own psychology. But it is not working. You are only kicking against the purposes of God and kicking against the systems of the world without the ability to break out. But today there's one who is coming, who is going to take your place so that you that was meant to die, you meant to be destroyed, that you can come to life. Jesus came to exchange places with Barabbas, Son of the Father. God knows that you are his son, and he's come to make an exchange with you. He came to make sure that you and I have eternal life. Jesus, our Lord, had been betrayed by one whom he loved. Judas, he's been dragged before the leaders, the high priest. He's been accused. He's already experienced not only betrayal, but denial by one that was very close and dear to him. Have you ever been betrayed? Have you ever been denied? The Bible tells us in Matthew that as he was brought to the house of Annas, the father of the high priest, that Peter and John were with him. The Bible says John went in because the family knew him. Peter stayed at the door. The young lady who was the gatekeeper saw Peter and said to Peter, "Aren't you one of them?" And Peter says, "God forbid. No, I'm not one of them. I don't know that guy." John had an entrance because of somebody he knows. I digress for a moment to say that God is about to connect you with somebody that knows you so that you can have entrance. Peter was going to be given the same opportunity to go in, have entrance, because somebody identified him, but he denied, "I don't know him." And so he was shut out. Sometimes we deny when entrance is about to be given to us. We deny the connectivity. Are you denying Jesus because you think something bad is going to happen? Somebody sent me a video some time back about a terrorist group that came inside a church. When they came inside our church, they said, "Who is the Son of God? Who believes in God and is the Son of God here?" Everybody kept quiet. "Who is the Son of God here?" And everybody pointed at the pastor. The pastor says, "What are you guys talking about? My name is such and such. My name is not Son of God." When facing death, he denied. Read a story, a true story. And these things are happening around the world. People are being persecuted. They came in and they're going to kill everybody who will not deny Jesus Christ. And there they were in church. And this person walked away. And that person walked away. And that person walked away denying Jesus. But there was one seated there that will not move. This happened to take place in the underground church in China. Soldiers were there, and yet they were slipping out. We're not part of it. And finally, when everybody's gone, they congratulated the lady and said, "We too, we are Christians. We wanted to make sure there were no traitors in here." Betrayal, denial. They had the opportunity to stand for the living God, but at the time of crisis, they denied. Somebody sent me a video just about a week ago. It could have been a movie, it could have been whatever. But it captures the essence of the story. These two pastors, young pastors, were grabbed by this terrorist group. I won't tell you what religion they belong to. Brought them out and said, "You deny Jesus or you are dead today." They cocked their guns, pointed. "If you deny Jesus, you can go free. If you don't, you die here." Pointed the gun. One of them said, "I deny Jesus," and said to two of the guys, "Take him away and let him go." "You, will you deny him?" "No, I won't." And began to sing unto the Lord, began to worship the Lord, and they began to shoot. They emptied their barrel, shot and shot, but nothing was hitting him. And he dropped everything. They tapped him and said, "Tell us, sell us the medicine that you have that's protecting you." He said, "No, I don't have any medicine. I don't have any concussions. I serve the living God. Would you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?" They said, "Yes." They gave their lives to the living God that day. The one that denied Jesus, they led him out and they said, "You can go free." He said, "Oh, thank you." And as he went, pow, he was dead. He denied Jesus and lost. We have opportunities every day to either declare that we belong to the Lord or we don't. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean the giving up of your life. Sometimes we deny because of little things here and there that in the end of all the story matters nothing. Jesus came to make an exchange. He had been denied. He had been betrayed. And now he has an insurrection against him. And here he is before Pilate. And Pilate knows that the reason this man is standing before him is not because of anything wrong that he's done, but because of envy and jealousy. The system, the religious system, didn't want him. They've already plotted against him because he had raised up a man that had been dead called Lazarus. When they saw him raise Lazarus from the dead, they, instead of celebrating that there is one who has come with great power to raise the dead back to life, let's connect with him, let's walk with him. No, they sat around planning on how they could destroy him. Now was their opportunity. But here's the crowd. They've seen Jesus heal the sick. They've seen Jesus deliver people, cast out demons, cleanse lepers, and here he is. And the religious leaders who've done absolutely nothing for them convinced them to shout, "Crucify him, crucify him. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." What? How did they convince them? Because they wanted to be part of a group. They are afraid of being set aside, isolated, shut off. They wanted to be part of a group of people, a society, a social group, a religious group. Well, if he dies, I still have to go to the temple. I don't want to be set aside. And no, if you want to follow Jesus, you've got to shun the world and follow him. And one of these days, you are going to have an opportunity to make that decision. One of these days, you will have the opportunity to make that decision on whether you're going to follow God or follow the systems of this world. What will your decision be then? Jesus made his decision. His decision was to set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He knew what was awaiting him there. He knew he was going to die there. But he had already started rehearsing. The Bible says he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And when Judas went to betray him with 30 coins, received 30 coins as a price of his betrayal, he knew where he was going to be, because the Bible says he oftentimes went to that garden. He knew, I came to this world to be crushed, to be squeezed. And he was always there. As oftentimes as he came, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane. This was not the first time. So the Bible says Judas knew where he was going to be at, and so was able to lead them to that place. But when Judas brought the people out to meet them, the Bible says, Jesus said, friend, what can I do for you? He did not allow himself to become bitter. It was a decision. You may be persecuted, but you are not called to bitterness. Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He made a decision to stay in love because he wanted to exchange places with the haters, because he loved them. He loved them in spite of all of their failures, in spite of their sin. He loved you and I in spite of all our failures and our sin and all the confusion that we carry around. The Bible tells us that he came to take our burdens. He came to take away our sins. He came to take away the old man and in exchange give us the new man, himself. Barabbas was there in prison. And all he could hear, give us Barabbas! Give us Barabbas! Crucify him! Give us Barabbas, crucify him. Give us Barabbas, crucify him. And Barabbas was coming out expecting to be the one to be crucified. Because all he could hear was Barabbas and crucify him. Barabbas and crucify him. Barabbas and crucify him. And when he came out, expecting to be the one to be crucified, he saw that there was someone else. His name is Jesus. They cross paths. He's coming out, and Jesus is going in. He was the one to be scourged, but instead he sees that Jesus is the one being scourged, whipped. For he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was bestowed upon him, and by the stripes that he bore, we are healed. He was making an exchange, taken my sickness and taken my pain, taken my sorrow and taken my poverty, taking everything that was contrary to me and nailing it to his cross. He was making an exchange. And in that exchange, he was giving me all that he had. The Bible says that he who was rich became poor that we might become rich. That day, he was mocked. Not only with the scourging that he experienced, the Bible tells us that the very beard in his face was plucked, physically plucked out. Maybe that's why he shaved. I don't want anybody plucking mine. It must be painful. He slapped, spat on. The Bible tells us that he, when you looked at him, he didn't look like he was human anymore. He was a bloody mess. Why is he going through all of that? Because he was taking all of my pain. All of your pain. All of your sorrow. All of your defeat. All of your shame. Everything that was contrary, he was taking onto himself. Well, I thank God. Before he went to that cross, he had been ministering to a group of people. There comes a woman. This woman had an alabaster box of fragrance, perfume. She came in and she began to pour this fragrance on her. On him. It was worth a whole year's wage. Most likely something that she'd been saving for her dowry as a gift. And she comes and pours it all on Jesus. And he said, this was in the house of Simon the leper. Judas is there, and they begin to chastise the woman and say, this is waste. Giving your very best to this guy, it's waste. There's nothing that you give to God that is waste. But that day, as they were whipping him, scourging him, with this whip that had many stripes attached to it, and in this whip, stone or rocks, nails, sharp objects were attached to it, so that when it hit you and they pulled it, it also took flesh. But that day, in the midst of the anguish that he was going through, there was a fragrance, a smell, a wonderful smell of the fragrance of that perfume that had been poured on him. You know what? Even in your toughest, most difficult day, the fragrance of glory, of God's glory, will rest upon you. So there he was. Barabbas, crucify him. He's going through all of that. On that day, they took thorns, wove them together and formed a crown, and they put it on his head. While they were doing all these things, mocking him, in their worship, because they were kneeling down and worshiping him, but it was all mockery. And it is still the same today. When we do not worship God from the depths of our being, we are mocking. Mockery. The Word of God says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, he gets to reap. God is not mocked. You cannot mock God. Force those thorns on his brow. That day, he was addressing the issue of the curse. The earth shall yield thorns and thistles. He was addressing it. Poverty is in your mind. Let me say that again. Poverty is in your mind. It's in your thinking. And so the thorns were placed on his head. He was taking our poverty. He was addressing it. He was addressing the issue of our mind, of our thinking, the limitations in our mind, addressing it. He was going through all of these experiences very deliberately. But there is something I think about right here. Not only that Barabbas was delivered or was released, and Jesus was delivered to be scourged and crucified, and that a crown of thorns was placed upon him, and that he was clothed with purple, which represented royalty. The Bible says that while he was being mocked, verse 20, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to be crucified. And they compel, verse 21, and they compel one Simon a Cyrenian. Simon a Cyrenian. Simon meaning a rock. A Cyrenian meaning that he came from this African nation, who passed by coming out of the country. Simon is the father of a man called Alexander. Now, why is that important to us? Why does the Bible tell us about who Simon, who is a rock, is, and tells us that he was the father of Alexander? Because the name Alexander means defender of man. God is so amazing. God is so amazing. He's telling the story in a very powerful way. He's saying that he is the rock. He is the defender of mankind, and Rufus. And Rufus simply means red. Rufus means red. They were to bear his cross. Jesus represented all three. Simon, for he truly is the rock. The father of Alexander, the defender of men, and Rufus, red, like the blood, to bear his cross. So Simon helps him. What is the message? The message is this, that we all need help. Every one of us needs help. And we need help from the rock, the defender of man. We need help from the red blood of Jesus Christ. But when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The accusers did their thing. Jesus is tormented. He falls on his way, going to fulfill his destiny. And sometimes, while you are going to accomplish what God has for you, you may fall. And you may fall again. But the destiny God has for you, you will fulfill, because God will send helpers to help you get to the place where you accomplish everything that you need to accomplish. The Bible says they gave to him wine and myrrh, mixed with myrrh, to drink. And the Bible says Jesus refused it. I always wondered, why did he refuse the drinking of the myrrh? Until it dawned on me, oh, I get it. It's because those two became like a narcotic that was going to prolong or try to deaden his pain so that he can basically endure it through natural means. But he was not going to rely on what man had to give to him. But he was willing to drink, taste the vinegar, because that taste he needed to represent everything that you and I are going through. He wanted us to know he's taken from us what will cause us pain. But whatever it is that's going to be a drug, he said, don't take it. And you know, in these end times, the Bible says that the world is going to be consumed by their sorceries, by their pharmaceutical systems, by their drugs. It's no wonder that in the world today, there are people popping pill after pill after pill after pill, and the pills are not working. They cannot work. They are only creating more problems. What you need is to exchange your pain with Jesus. He wants to take it from you and give to you his peace. He says, my peace I give to you, not like the world gives, give I unto you. Will you accept the peace of God today? Will you exchange places with him today? He came purposely to do that. He calls you a Barabbas, a son of the Father. Jesus is the Son of the Father coming to take your place and saying, you, Son of the Father, go home. Be free. I'm going to take your place. I'm going to take your punishment. I'm going to take your judgment. I'm going to take your sorrow. I'm going to take your defeats. I'm going to take all of it, because after I have taken it all, I will for once and forever, at one moment, destroy the one who is bringing you all this pain. For this cause, for this reason, was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Every work of the devil is destroyable by the Lord Jesus Christ. And today he wants to destroy the works of the devil operational in your life. He wants to make dysfunctional every functionality of the darkness of hell in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare this day, take the exchange. Take it. It is not the drugs of this world that you need. It is not the booze. It's not the marijuana. It's none of that. What you need is Jesus. When you have Jesus, you have the creator of the whole universe. Will you take him today? On this day that is called Good Friday, I suggest to you that it's the best day to turn your life over to God and say, God, I want to make the exchange. If you loved me enough to come give your life for me, I love you enough, and I love me enough, and I love my neighbors enough to make the exchange, because I cannot truly be truly any good to anyone else in ways that have eternal consequences until I make the exchange. Jesus was crucified, pierced in his hands, pierced in his feet, bleeding from his hands, bleeding from his feet, bleeding from the crown of his head. In Gethsemane, he was bleeding all over. His sweat became droplets of blood because he was addressing the curse. You are going to work so hard, and from your sweat, you are going to struggle to eat. Oh, Jesus' blood was shed. The pressure that he was going through. Are you pressured? There are so many people in our world today. I've not read the statistics. I've not heard anything on television about it. But yesterday they started talking about what I was talking about a few days ago. About the increase in suicide since COVID-19. The increase in physical abuse, marital abuse, and all kinds of things that are happening because of people have been pushed together. But there is a breakthrough that God has for you tonight. You can make that exchange. You don't need to kill yourself because of the pressure of this world. You can cast all of your burdens onto the Lord, for He cares for you. He cares for you. You don't need to fret and worry about life, about what's going to happen tomorrow. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things that you're worrying about, they're going to be added unto you. You can make that decision. You can make this great exchange right now. You can turn your sorrow over to him and receive his joy. You can turn your defeat over to him and receive the victory. You can turn your shame over to him and receive his grace, his glory. Will you do that tonight? Are you willing to make that exchange? Jesus died to make the exchange. He died to redeem you. He died to deliver you. He died to make sure that sickness and disease do not have authority and power over your life. But if you don't make the exchange, you don't get the exchange. If you don't make the exchange, you don't get the currency necessary to deal in the kingdom of God. The exchange happens because you accept the love of God. Will you do that today? Are you willing to turn your life over to Him? If you are willing you will experience the life that only God can give, the eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The exchange is you having everlasting life. If you don't make that exchange, what you will have is everlasting death, total separation from God, and it will be your decision. But while you hear my voice today, you can make that exchange. Do it right now. Let God in. Let him in. Don't be a fool. Yes, you got me right. You heard me right. Don't be a fool. It's fools that reject the love of God. Wise people make the decision to follow him. Wise people accept the love of God. Fools reject it. Will you make a decision right now? If you want to, I want to pray with you. Repeat after me these words. Lord Jesus, I am willing to make the exchange right now. I give you my life and I receive your life. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Come into my heart. Be Lord. Be Savior of my soul. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I declare right now, you are my Lord and my Savior. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer with me, you are a new person. God has already forgiven you. All you just did is you cashed in your voucher. And now the goods are delivered unto you. Say, what goods? The goods of God himself. God has come inside of you. And this day he lives in you. He is with you, stands for you. I bless you. I thank God for you. And I celebrate with the angels in heaven your salvation and this new beginning that God has given to you. You have escaped from death and have stepped into the arena of life. You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness in which you're stumbling through life to the place where the light of God is. And God has ignited you and you are now light. And now you won't have to stumble through life because there is a God who will keep you and guide you, protect you, and provide for you. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. The two things I want to do at this point, and then we're going to pray with you and speak into your life in very particular ways. I'm excited about what the Lord will say to us coming this Sunday. Looking forward to be with you Sunday morning and also Sunday evening as we celebrate the day of resurrection. Praise God. Get your elements ready to honor God as you remember Him. The Lord says that as often as we eat of this body and drink from this cup, we should do it in remembrance of Him. I have a very difficult one today. It's not cooperating, but I'm going to get it. I got it. Well, praise God. This is the body of the Lord. On the night that he was to be betrayed, he got his disciples together. He broke bread with them and said, "This is my body." It's the body of his covenant with us. He said, as often as we eat of this body, we should do it in remembrance of him. That means two primary things: remembering who he is, what he did, what he accomplished, what he promised. It means that. But it means much more than that. For the Bible tells us that every one of us are members of the body of Christ. We are particular individuals or particular members. And when we remember Jesus, we bring the best of all that he has put inside of us, and we attach it to the next person, who attaches it to the next person, until the very image of Jesus Christ is formed. So remember him. I'm reminded about something I read some time back. A young child was disturbing the father, who was busy in his office. This child will not stop. Kept on bothering him. She wanted him to go out to play with him, with her. So father kept on saying, "Child, I love you. I can't right now. I am busy." She will leave and come back again. She kept on coming. So he figured, okay, I know what to do. He had a map close to him, and he began ripping the map. He tore the map up and gave it to this 5-year-old child and said, "If you can put this map back together, I'll go out to play with you." He thought he had won. So she went out and came back 5 minutes later. Everything was in place. He looks at her. How did you do this? How on earth did you put all these nations and put this map together like this? And she said, Dad, all I had to do was to put Jesus back together. He said, what do you mean put Jesus back together? She said, at the back of the map was a picture of Jesus. And all I had to do was put Jesus back together. And when I put Jesus back together, I put the world map back together. You know, all you need to do today, as you remember him, your world will be put back together. Your family will be put back together. Your finances will be put back together. Your health will be put back together. But he says, remember me. Put me back together in your life. Remember me. And as we take off this body today, we are remembering him. And as we remember him by coming together, our lives will be forever changed. Take of this body and eat, remembering him. There is a cup of the blood. The blood of the one who defends us. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us that the name of Jesus is Alexander, but it could as well be. Because the name Alexander means defender of man. As you take of this blood, you're taking the blood of Emmanuel, God with us. You're taking the blood of Jesus Christ, for he shall take the sins of his people away. The Lamb of God, Jesus, Savior, Yeshua, the Christ, the Anointed One. As you take of this blood today, I believe that God will infuse your spirit, your soul, your body with the very essence of who He is. And that transformation will take place in your life. The Bible says when Jesus hung on that cross, something remarkable happened. While he was on that cross, for 3 hours, the world was filled with darkness. But when he gave his life, the thick curtain in the temple was torn from the top right to the bottom. The holiest of places, the holy of holies, now blended with a holy place, now blended with the rest. Today, God is giving you access. He wants to generate his very essence, the very glory of who he is, to affect your spirit, your soul, and your body. As you remember him today, God is bringing about a work of transformation in your life. As you take off this cup, victory becomes your MO. Victory. Because God makes you more than a conqueror. Because you remember him. When he hung on that cross, the Bible says that the saints, the patriarchs that were dead for centuries, for millennia, were freed from their grave. They were freed from their grave, but they didn't come out until he was resurrected. They were freed, but they demonstrated something that is powerful. They demonstrated the power of honor. I am free to do whatever it is, but I am not a leader of him. He is the one who went in and made it possible for me to be free. I will wait for him to come and lead me out. John outran Peter to come to the grave, to the tomb, but he waited because he honored Peter so that Peter could go in first and see before he did. When we remember Jesus, we honor him as sovereign. Take of this cup today. Drink. Honoring him and honoring his body, making sure that his body come together, everyone gathered together in covenant and in sacrifice. Take off this cup and drink. Praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. 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 We declare your healing right now. I'm going to ask Mama to come and pray with us. And as she comes, I want to pray for those that are frontline people, whether they're nurses or doctors, whether they be people that are cashiers, the grocery store. For those that are out there, we want also to pray for those that have lost loved ones through this pandemic that is ravaging the world. For families that are struggling, people that have lost their jobs, I declare that no one in this household of faith that's established in this house will lose their jobs. But for those that have lost jobs and don't know what they're going to do tomorrow, we pray for you. But most of all, we encourage you to give your life to the living God and help so that you may be helped greatly. Mama is going to come.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love all your children.
Yes, you do.
All over the world, those hearing the sound of my voice right now, that you're ministering your grace to them. You died for them and their family. You paid the ultimate price so that they will be free. We receive that freedom.
Amen.
We receive that righteousness that
Amen.
You've given to us. We receive the healing that you've given to us.
Yes,
we receive the strength that you've given to us.
Yes,
we receive the blessing that you've given to us. In the mighty name of Jesus. As they feel pressure, may all that pressure leave them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Those that do not know what is going to happen to them tomorrow, their tomorrow belongs to you. Father, you pay the price for them. Precious Jesus, during this season of this of remembering you, of remembering the blood that you shed for us, may they receive their portion. In the mighty name of Jesus. Give them peace of mind.
Yes,
give them peace.
Yes,
in the
Father.
Mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Touch their lives. Those that are sick, that are not sure whether they'll make it, Lord, you are their healer. Heal, restore, and make them whole. Touch their families, Lord. Bring peace to their family. Those that are abusing themselves, set them free now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Those that are confused, heal their mind. Heal every part of their body. In the mighty name of Jesus. Heal their spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, you bring solitude to family. Give family peace as they are locked down in their homes. May they know that they are not in prison, that their spirit is free to worship you, their mind is free to worship you, their tongue can praise you. Lord, give them a praise where they don't have a praise. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that all this crisis will soon be over. Let them pass away, Almighty God. That families will continue to give thanks and they be in the house of God worshiping and praising God. Many during the week that we sing, they said, oh, I miss church. Lord, touch them in their homes. Amen. That they'll be back to church and bring revival to our land. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we bless families today. Yes, Lord. And we thank you, O God, that those that are not saved, they will be saved. Knowing that there is nothing out there except Jesus. Yes. May they receive you, Almighty God. Amen. We bless your holy name. We thank you, O God, for throughout this weekend until Resurrection Sunday, that there will be resurrection life flowing in all families. In the mighty name of Jesus, give them testimonies, give them strength, and give them shalom. In Jesus' mighty name we declare so, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are thankful. We pray, O God, for our governments. Governments around the world. These, O God, that you have placed in position of authority. We pray, O God, that today that you will speak, O God, to these leaders. But Father, O God, that they will cry out and lead, O God, in the ways that you've called them to lead. That they will cry out for you. And Lord, O God, that they will call upon your name. And Lord, O God, that this crisis will not be prolonged. That they will not depend on their human abilities to resolve this issue. But Lord, O God, that they will acknowledge, O God, that they have a need of you, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Lord, do it, Father. Draw on their hearts. Draw on the heart of our prime minister. On the hearts, O God, of our premiers. The hearts of our mayors, and the hearts, O God, of our governors and presidents, O God, the leaders, O God, in this land. Father, O God, tug on their hearts, tug on their hearts, tug on their hearts. Let them, O God, move away from their physical ideas and call unto you. For in you, O God, is the fullness of life. We depend, O God, on you. And we rest, O God, in your grace and mercy. Blessed be your holy name, Most High. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we ask it to be done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank God for every one of you. May the peace of God garrison your heart. Celebrate the goodness of God. Subscribe to this YouTube channel and also share it and encourage your friends to subscribe to it, because we are coming to the times when we are going to be pumping out a lot of information to you and bringing relevant words to you on a daily basis, and we want you to be able to hear and experience what God has for you. Amen. Like us on Facebook so that you can receive alerts. And at this time, I'd like to encourage you about your giving. The Word of God tells us once again in the book of Psalms, chapter 50 and verse 5. Psalms chapter 50 and verse 5. The Word of God says, gather my saints together unto me. And I believe that through this medium, through this platform, we're gathering all of you. And it says, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. We're gathering people who've made covenant with God. And how did they do it? By their sacrifice, by their sacrificial giving. The giving of their life, the giving of their time, the giving of their finances, the giving of the giftings that God has given to them, and the utilization of those giftings for the proclamation and the progressive movement of the Word of God. I want to encourage you right now to give a very special gift. At this time, the angels of the Lord have been commissioned to come receive your gifts, your vows, your commitments, your tithe, your offerings, the special offerings that God has challenged you to bring to Him. I want to encourage you right now to honor God. You say, Pastor, how can I do that? Well, you can do it in so many ways today. You can do it through doing an e-transfer if you are in Canada. You can do something called an e-transfer, and you can e-transfer to donation@gloryandpeace.com. donation@gloryandpeace.com. You can do it that way. Or if you're listening to this stream on our website, there's a donation button that you can use. Make use of that donation button. It will lead you through the process of so that your giving gets through to us. You can also do it by bringing it yourself and dropping it in the mail chute. You can do it by sending a check in the mail. 1296 Main Street, Winnipeg, Manitoba. All of that information is on your screen, I believe, right now. Do take note of it. The address is there. The way that you can do your e-transfer through donation@gloryandpeace.com, or if you don't remember that, info@mikezenoministries.com. Either one will get your donation right here to the church, and we'll be able to process it and make sure that you're receipted for the new year. Thank you so very much for being an active participant today in this very special service. We've had 3 days of meeting together, and we declare as we end today, receive the healing, the deliverance, the peace, the prosperity, the joy of the Lord. May your life be greatly blessed, and may the joy of the Lord be your strength. We celebrate you with thanksgiving. And if you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, drop us a note. Let us know that you gave your life to the Lord today. You can use those two addresses, info@mikezenoministries or donation@gloryandpeace. You can send a note to let us know what God did for you, how God healed you, how God restored you, how God protected you, how God provided for you. We want to hear from you, and we want to connect with you so that we can continue to bring the Word of God to you on a daily basis. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. And remember, God loves you, He cares for you, and He's making an exchange with you right now. Do that exchange. Amen. Bless you. Love you. See you on Sunday.